Welcome to Sgrowthcast, the English language Sgrowthcabado podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And I'd like to say hello to Yershi, who, from my work, who was in the kitchen today and said he listens to a podcast called Sgrowthcast.
Oh,
so
hello,
before
Yershi.
I forget, hello Yershi.
Hello. We're back.
We're back, baby.
After
there's red hot footballing action to come.
There's some footballing action to come. And my word, was that not an interminable break?
It was
so long.
Because not only is it long, you know, long and the weather here has been frankly awful, but, you know, you can usually console yourself with other football happening, right? You've had, you know, Coventry City getting back on track. I've had to watch Aberdeen for 3 months, listener. Let me tell you, it's brought me to the brink.
Something's changed, but many things stay the same here in Sgrowthcast Towers. Yeah, there we go.
You know, it's my struggle. But one thing that we'll hope is, you know, not going to be struggling is FC Zbrojovka Brno that are back in action this weekend.
Indeed, yes. We are home to the much-hated Příbram. Mm-hmm. Then we're away to second-place Tábor.
The far more likeable Tábor.
Yes, exactly. Lovely town, likeable team, very, very good team currently. So
yes, more on that later.
Yeah, we're going to be previewing both of those. We're going to have a look back at
an eventful
series of mid-season friendlies and a squad not restructuring, but there have been some ins and outs, some fairly high profile
ins and outs.
So we're going to have a look at, I would say, those first before we go into the games, because we're going to be introducing some fresh new names into your ears, listener. Sit back and prepare those ears. Hello. Hello.
Those ears better be prepared.
Yeah. By my count, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players in.
That's also by my count.
Yes. All apart from one, possibly two, look immediately first team ready.
Yep.
Let's go from the back. We've got the unlikely named Colin Andrew, who is Czech, but
yes.
He's called Colin Andrew. One of his parents, I assume his father is Nigerian.
I believe that was the case.
He's a goalkeeper, highly rated Francesco Budějovice. He turned 22 earlier this week, I think.
Yes.
So he's in as backup for Adam Hrdina because we've lost two, which we will also go into in a second. The other one I'm not sure is a starter, but is also young and fairly highly rated, is Alex Markovic.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone needs an absolutely massive Serbian centre-half. There's ours.
Can I say, finally, all those winter friendlies against Podbrezhova have paid off. We finally got someone from them. So that was good. So we've got those two. I think the other few signings are pretty class, David, so I'd like to hear about them from you.
Yes. Moving sort of sideways through the side. Left back, Petr Mareš. He had 5 years with RFS in Latvia, winning basically everything.
Mm-hmm.
He's a former Czech international, 3 caps for the Czech Republic. I mean, you know, not too shabby.
He's here for a hurrah, isn't he? He's what, 34, 35?
34,
yeah. So
He will be absolutely one of those who will play a few games, be one of the hashtag good lads to have around. He'll get a year in the top flight if we go up and then move to the coaching staff, maybe.
Absolutely.
Like,
you see what my thought was immediately about him was he seemed like a less problematic Uncle Vanya, as in he's not going to be in Two-Face's bar getting coked off his tits and pretending to be injured.
Yeah,
has that proven quality,
yes,
that age and experience. It plays in a very similar role, right? That sort of winger, sort of attacking mid sort of thing.
Yeah, he's a absolutely, you know, all-round pro, as we've said. Like, you know, went to Latvia, obviously not the most fashionable league, but won everything there. And, you know,
here Riga's quite nice
Yeah, he probably had a lovely time. As you say, a final sort of hurrah. And one more stab at the top league, hopefully. Then two more slightly more exciting signings. Stjepan Langer.
Langer looks great.
Yes, central midfielder from Sigma Olomouc. Played in their run to the Mole Cup win last year. Started in a couple of their Europa League games off the back of that. Mm-hmm. And somehow he's here now. So that's
great. Bought into the project, David. But it looks, I mean, a prospect, you know. Not ancient, experienced.
Yeah, he's
Is a signing for the... I mean, we've talked about this before in the podcast. When, like, Budjovica did it before. No, sorry, not Budjovica. Zlín did it last season around this time. Zlín were obviously going to win the title, but they made a couple of very choice signings in January to bleed them in for going back up to the top flight. Exactly. This is a top flight signing.
Yes, exactly. This is absolutely it. He's probably not going to go straight into that. That central midfield area has quality already.
Stacked, yeah.
Except for Philipp Lecher, who's still remarkably knocking about. But, you know, there we go. But, yeah, like
good he's... to have around the place.
Exactly. And, yeah, and not a vast distance to move, probably still commuting from Olomouc or wherever he lives. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a huge decision to make, I guess. And finally, welcome back, Lukasz Worlicki, former Zbrojovka youth player who we... probably released on a free under the previous regime. Mm-hmm. Went immediately to...
Found his way to Atalanta.
Yeah, exactly. Then to Slavia Prague, from whom we have him on loan.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun, right? The problem that I think that people will have with this, and I sort of have with it, is we're just... helping a rival develop a player for when we're going back up, basically. I don't think we don't have an option on him, do we?
It's
just 6 months
so.
For a crack of things again.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's fun. So.
Yeah, it's also one of those things where, you know, he's a Brno lad.
Local boy.
Yeah.
And done good.
You know, and if he comes back, really enjoys himself, clearly sees that he's not immediately going to get into the Slavia team. It might be a year's extension on a loan. It might be a permanent move. Who knows? Like, mm-hmm. you know, the club have clearly got pathways earmarked. And so, we'll see. It's, as you say, it's going to be fun. Any winger who comes in and immediately gets given the number 7 shirt, lovely stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah,
those are the ins.
That's the ins.
And can I just say before we even begin, David, that I'm pretty much a huge fan of everyone we've decided to move on, in the sense of I'm glad that we're moving them on.
Yes, absolutely. Our outs. Yeah, Daniel Kubatik.
Oh, you're starting with the least funny one. Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we know where we're going. Uh-huh, here.
Yeah.
Daniel Kubatik, who not a bad player for this level, but absolutely not the level we're going to need.
Yeah.
Later on,
he might bounce back though. He's alone. Remember.
Yeah, he's on loan to Zlaté Moravce in Slovakia. Matius Slavíček, who came on loan for 6 months to be the backup goalkeeper, basically his loan has ended. He's back at Trenčín.
Yeah, fair enough.
Lukasz Sal hasn't made the impact that we thought he might after joining from Sparta. He's been sent on loan to the Zbrojovka graveyard of Kroměříž. Mm-hmm. Lovely town. You're probably not coming back.
Yeah, well, I mean, both the club and the player.
yeah. And finally, Dominik fucking Svarček, loaned out to the poor bastards at Žilina, who have somehow been persuaded to take him off our hands.
Despite the fact that they've got 3 good keepers in front of him, so he's not going to play.
No, he'll be, you know, making a tea or something.
Yeah, this is...
And then drop it on the way to the dressing room, almost certainly.
Yes, it's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
More of them, of course.
Oh, yes.
Because we have...
I mean, they were the kind of big,
reasonable. Well... I mean, the really funny one, surely, is a certain Mr... Well, I mean, you know, I don't want to give it too much. Let's call him just a D. Svančara, who has... Zbrojovka Brno and has made the, I'm assuming, about 3 feet move to Artis Brno.
Yes.
For which he's never going to get a game.
Yeah. His dad bitched and moaned, as he always does, mm-hmm. to the press. If you are unaware of his father, it's Petr Švancara, sort of crowd favourite to a sort of type of mm-hmm. fan, but mm-hmm. a massive prick, basically.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Švancy Jr., who, you know, as a person, seems like far less of a prick than his dad,
yeah.
but is just not,
it's not difficult.
A massively good footballer.
Yeah. A few more.
Yeah.
As well. I can't remember this, but Filip Štěpánek is gone.
Right.
So he's at Opava.
I'd actually forgotten he was even in the side.
Yeah, I mean...
Or in the squad, honestly.
Hard to ever come back from that performance that he had against Varnsdorf.
Yeah, where he was at fault for, like, two goals?
I mean, the first half was just a nightmare for him. He was directly responsible for two goals and then scored an own goal himself. Mm-hmm. As well as Znojmo have been enriched by both Pachlopnik and McLeider.
Oh, is that where McLeider is gone?
Yeah, so he came back on loan and he's now gone out permanently to Znojmo.
Fair enough.
That's a
nice town.
It's sort of a shame, but that feels actually like his level.
Yeah, he's, sure.
Yeah, but well, not really actually, because they're now fourth. They're Division D or C or whatever. So, yeah, not great. And then Pachlopnik is done, unfortunately. Yeah.
I mean,
see how it's time there, you know, as well.
Absolutely love the boy, but that is... basically semi-retirement, isn't it, for him?
This is it. Did we also say about Heitel going to Česká Lípa?
Yes, some of the best signing photos ever. His agent clearly said, I've got you a move to Arsenal. What? Arsenal, Česká Lípa.
Yeah.
And the most depressed man in a signing photo ever.
Yeah.
Looks like he doesn't know what's hit him.
Bit more of a fan of his sister. Dua. good to be back, baby. Oh, I was born to podcast. Quite a lot of people out, and I don't mean this in a bad way. It's quite good to have got these people off the payroll, because I don't...
They are dead wood. None of them are kicking a ball for the rest of the season or the next. I'm sorry, that's just how it is. We're going to go into a little bit of strength in depth when we look at the... mid-season friendlies, because there are a couple of really interesting points there. Should we do that after this little break, or
let's give that a go, because I'm interested to hear your thoughts on some of these performances.
Okie doke, right, let's do that after this. Then, during the mid-season, off-season, inter-season, whatever you want to call it, we played, I think, 7 friendlies against opposition of varying standards and geographical locations, but they were based in 2 places. Initially, the squad went to Antalya in Turkey for 2 games and a training camp. Then they were back in Brno for about 10 days before jetting off to Marbella. It's all right for some, isn't it? For the last 5 games against other teams. Whose leagues are on winter break.
Yes.
So, we kicked off...
Carlos, good luck with the pronunciations.
Yes, we kicked off against Bunyodkor. Apologies to any Uzbeks listening, i.e. no Uzbeks. Question, former club of which Brazilian star?
Oh, I don't know.
Japan Korea World Cup. Pretended he got hit by a football, went down like a sack of shit.
Oh,
Rivaldo.
Really?
Yeah. He used to play there. I think he might have even finished his career there.
Why?
He went... After he'd passed about 34, he went on this sort of sightseeing trip. I think he played in somewhere in like Senegal or Cameroon and in Uzbekistan. He was just like, fuck it, I'm just going to...
Big fan of Plov.
See the world. You know, very weird. But, you know...
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
We beat them 2-0, and then we had a 2-1 win against FC Balkani from...
Kosovo.
Kosovo. Very good.
They've been in Europe before.
Yeah. Goals in the first game from Filip Vedral and Patrick Chavosh. with Benny Kanakamana and Martin Georgievski notching in the second game. So that was a fairly solid start. Then, as I said, back to Brno for 10 days or so before out to Marbella and a 1-0 loss to Nordsjælland. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. They are almost always in some kind of European competition. They're a good side.
Do you remember the name of Nordsjælland Stadium?
Is it something kind of corporately ridiculous?
Oh, yes. It's a corporate in a very Scandinavian way.
The IKEA Arena. I mean, I know they're Danish, but like, or the... give me a clue.
You either know this one or you don't.
No, okay, it's no.
The Right to Dream Park.
Oh, yeah, the Right to Dream. Is it Right to Dream?
With the
number in the middle? Because if so...
I don't think so, actually. I think it's just because they don't usually have that bullshittery, let's say, in in Scandinavia, you know, the twos and these sorts of things. But there, yeah. Okay. The Right to Dream, yeah, it is just two.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
So
yes. we lost to them, but like I said, fair enough. Then back on the horse with a slightly harsh win, sticking seven past Midtjylland's development squad.
Yeah, you could have just said Midtjylland, and then it sounded fucking great, didn't it?
Yeah.
That team that I've seen in the Champions League, etc. But yeah.
It's the under-21 development squad who we beat 7-1, which seems slightly harsh.
But this is a football match for children, and yes, Oliver Velli scored a hat trick.
Yeah, and he beat their brains out. Yeah, we then drew 1-1 with Polisia Zhytomyr of Ukraine.
Slava Ukraini.
Regino Sicilia scoring there. And then we played two games in one day, interestingly, against Horsens.
Oh, I was going to go for Crazy Horsens. Wow! Good.
Who was the other team we played? Sarpsborg, that's right, yeah. So we beat Crazy Horsens 2-1. Goal scored by a classic combo, big Oli Velik and Martin Rimarenko, getting the band back together for that one. And yeah, then lost, it was 2-0 to Sarpsborg. There was, throughout the entire time, as expected, a lot of rotation.
Sure.
Because, you know,
fitness exercise.
That's what we're doing it for, yeah. With everyone getting sort of roughly the same game time, aside from Hrdina, naturally, you know, because goalkeeper, etc. And what's nice about that is it's very much how the manager and coaching staff manage the first half of the season. Like, there are some animals who are slightly more equal than others. Namely, I would say Hrdina, obviously.
Yeah.
Klima, Juroška, Čavoš, Velich, and increasingly Kaká. But otherwise, it's pretty much...
We have a spine of a team.
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, it's pretty rotatey. Let's just look at those two games on the same day against Horsens and Sarpsborg. So Team 1 that beat Horsens 2-1, Hrdina, back four of... Kaká, Klima, Hoffman, Mareš, or Juroška and or Mareš. They're both quite similar players. Midfield, Juroška and or Mareš. Texel, Langer, Vachosek. And then Rimarenko behind Velich. A very strong team, I think you will agree.
Yeah.
That's pretty much... Apart from Texel, that feels like a very... Sort of first choice, although, you know, we've kind of mentioned we don't really have choice, but like it's a very strong side.
Yeah.
You were going to ask a question.
I was going to say, like, I mean, would, did you say Vash was there?
Vachosek was, yes.
Yeah, so would we not be playing that more as like a 4-3-3 even?
Yes, with Rimarenko on the left, Vachosek on the right, and Big Oli.
Which is how I would like to play him, because the host head just runs and runs.
Yeah, yeah,
to give
yeah.
it the clear.
Yeah. And then Team 2 against Salzburg later was Colin Andrew, D. Gran, Markovic, yeah. Prechka and Vedral.
I mean, that's still okay.
Yeah. Then Forlitsky, Blecha, Selnar, Kanakamana, Georgievsky.
That's slightly less
and
okay.
And Regino Sicilia up top.
I know, I'd rather play. I mean, that's the bench.
The bench for both was Ondřej Prodělal, very much a 20-year-old third goalkeeper, fair enough. Žitný, Janecký, Dan Polak, Dan Kutik before he went out on loan.
Jitters, of course, yeah.
And forgotten man Adam Cronus, who is, like, you know, hashtag fear for Cronus at this point.
I don't know.
He's a trier, bless him, but...
I mean, he's still scored three, isn't he?
Yeah. The squarest man in the world.
He's, Minecraft's very own. but, Žitný was... Was Žitný getting much game time throughout previously, though? Because he has been one of these players that started to not start as well towards the end of things, right? Came on, you know, made a bit of an impact and stuff like this. The fact that I'd forgotten about him until you said he was on the bench just there, though, just shows, like, what you're attesting to as well. Have we ever seen this amount of depth in a Zbrojovka squad?
Not in my lifetime. Yeah. Lifetime watching this team. I mean... Like I said, team 1 won 2-1 against Horsens. Team 2, the weaker on balance, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Despite having Forlitsky and Kanakamana in there.
Yeah.
And you know, weaker because they've got people like Blecha, Vedral, Cecilia, and a still... very raw Martin Georgievsky, who is very much, you know, I mean, he was a great signing, made a great impact, but he's going to be an impact sub for this season. He's still very young.
Yeah.
He's still very raw. So, you know, there's that. However, if you take that first team, first 11, you still got ample replacements.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if you take three or four out of that first team and replace them with, like I said, Kanakamana or Georgievsky, but keep that spine.
Yeah.
This is incredible strength in depth.
Yeah. It's
absolutely amazing. The only person listed on the first team page of the website to not feature in either of those games, and I think the only person not to feature basically across that Marbella thing was Honza Hellebrandt, who... You know, maybe he was injured or maybe they just left him on the bus. Because, let's face it, he's the most fucking forgettable player in the entire world.
I mean, he's had all the 10 minutes, hasn't he, recently?
Yeah, exactly. It feels like he should be off, they just ran out of time.
I think, it's like those things. It's sort of burying these people ever so quietly or whatever. There was no fanfare, there shouldn't be, but there was no real fanfare when, like, Shural... was, you know, sort of disappeared from the A team.
Yeah, exactly.
And then started popping up at half-hour spells in the B team.
Yeah, here's a handshake and a cheap watch. Don't let the door hit your ass on the way out.
It's like Bell and Sebastian's B-side, isn't it? Take your carriage clock and shove it.
Yeah.
Which is great because he's stinking these days. He's terrible. So, yeah, but like there's a lot to look forward to.
Oh yeah,
I would say, and you know, actually, couldn't really be two better teams to kick us off with at the start of the season, because I think each in their own way will show us where we're sort of at.
Yeah,
I think both are actually have the potential to be some really exciting games. So yeah, looking forward to getting back into football.
Indeed. Shall we? Because we've got two previews. We've got a beer of the podcast. We've also got hot or not. Do you want to do hot or not now, or do you want to do a preview now?
Should we do hot or not preview, beer preview?
That sounds about right. Yes. Listen to some music. Thank you.
Sometimes it's hot and sometimes it's not. We're going to talk about them in the usual slot. I don't know.
That's good.
That'll sort of do it. It's hot or not, by the way.
Is that based on something? Or
No.
Oh, good. Okay. Lovely. So, departure.
We're shaking off the cobwebs for a new new part of the season. Yep. One and one for me, David.
Yep, one and one. Do you want to go first?
Okay, I'll go for a nought, which is the Liam Ross Senior Pintgate.
That's what I've gone for. Yeah, rubbish.
Like, and I want to make the broader point that this is, I hate football social media, and I say this as running a football social media account, right? But it's the people, and they always have like stupid names. Like, it's always, they're called like things like Chippy CFC and stuff like this, and they always have like their favorite player as like their profile picture.
Yeah,
and
wank.
There was this photo of Liam Ross Senior sitting alone in a pub having a pint after what I think we can all agree was a tough week for him and his new football club, and this whatever roaster boy was like lack of aura or something like this. First of all, you only say something like lack of aura if you're about 18 years old, and well, football's maybe still new to you, son. But also, it's like, who hasn't had a shite week at work, a bad day at the office, and it's just gone, fuck it, I'm going to have a pint by myself in the pub.
Exactly.
If anything, I got more respect for him.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and I always quite liked Liam Ross Senior anyway, because even though his Strasbourg side fucked up Aberdeen in the Conference League, he was possibly one of the most complimentary fucking opposition managers to ever come to Pittodrie, and spent most of his time talking about the achievements of the squad in the 80s.
Nice.
Good egg, I believe.
Yeah. Lack of aura my ass. Like, this is something, if it was a lower league manager, or even, who was the guy who was at Wolves and is now at Forest? Like, was just going to pubs in Wolverhampton and having pints after the games, and people were lauding him for it. And okay, that's when you're winning. But he's just a bloke with a job who fancies a pint. Like,
he's also not a particularly old bloke either, right? You know, the sort of guy who will just go after where, like, you know what I mean, maybe whatever these guys on, I mean, right, okay, let's to talk about these lads on social media that post things at lack of order and stuff, they don't go to pubs because they're about, you know, 17 and don't have pals that will take them to pubs or vouch for them, right? But like, just grow the fuck up, Jesus Christ. And it's always like, these are the sort of people that care about things like winning the transfer windows. Remember when that was a thing?
Yeah.
Just, you know, despicable. So, you know, not many things can give me a little bit of, you know, respect for something associated with Chelsea Football Club. However, you know, fair play to you.
Yeah, yeah. I'll give you a not. It's Torquay United's coach company.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Apparently, there's only one coach hire company in Torquay.
Okay.
And due to a cock-up on their part, a group of fans had to give up their coach for the 4.5-hour journey back home, so the players could get back after their coach had not been sent to Eastbourne, 4.5 hours away. And yeah, the initial headline on all the social media obviously was like, disgrace as players demand fans, coach, etc.
Yeah.
And apparently neither the Torquay Supporters Trust or the club had any idea what was going on.
Yeah.
It was just, here's a coach, we think it's for the players, and the fans went, I think it's ours.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, okay, well, I guess you guys need it more. Mm-hmm. So, no. But yeah, they were...
You mean the Torquay that several times recently almost went bust.
Yes.
Is now in the sixth tier of English football and have players that probably get, I would say, about 500 quid a week.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll allow.
Yeah, you know? Exactly, yeah. But yeah, there was an absolute, social media hoo-ha again with like, disgraceful, etc. It's like, well... Mm,
yeah, pay nurses footballers' wages, yada, yada, yada.
It's just a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
But that was, again, various social media disgraces taking it far too seriously. Do you have a hot?
Yeah, I have a quick one for a hot, which, and it would be remiss for me to not mention this, because I think this is perhaps the most open title race we've had in the Scottish Premiership for years and years and years. And it's just a shame that three of the... I would argue that there's four clubs in it. I think Motherwell have still got a chance. Motherwell,
incredible.
Motherwell, who play, in my view, the best football in the league, It's just a shame that the other three are so unlikable teams, man. Like, I mean, obviously the preference would be that Hearts or Motherwell actually win for once. We don't have an Old Firm winner. But every one of those, maybe with the exception of Motherwell, actually, but every one of those, like Rangers, Celtic and Hearts, they're flawed teams, right? And the idea that, like, I can't stomach the idea particularly of Celtic winning it, right? Because this is the worst Celtic team that I fucking remember.
Oh, they've been Drek.
As well. Yeah. I get lost again. You know, so the gap is 4 points. I mean, it's also, it's not a gap between them. They're third now. So it's a gap between Rangers and Hearts. Who, again, Rangers as well. 2-2 draw with Livingston as well. So, you know, so it's still wide open. Whether or not Hearts have enough puff to get over it, the line, we'll see, is still a lot of football to play. The split hasn't happened yet. The split's not going to happen for some time. So, yeah, really interesting time to be watching Scottish football.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Yeah, that's a you know, a genuinely, good and relevant heart. Mine is less relevant, I would say. It is heroics in the Turkish 7th tier.
Well, I've not been watching the highlights of Turkish 7th tier for some time. Well, so you might have to walk me through this one.
Nor have I. Where goalkeeper Mohamed Ujanić leathers the ball down the pitch only to hit a seagull in mid-flight.
Uh-huh.
Seagulls, fairly hefty
birds,
as you know. The bird drops to the ground and the opposition captain, Gani Katan, immediately sprints over and starts performing CPR. Not actually breathing into him, but like doing the chest pump thing. On the video, you can hear the crowd laughing because it does look absurd, but he genuinely wanted to save the seagull's life. And eventually, like, it takes, I'd say, like 1 or 2 minutes where he's, like, surrounded by his teammates and he's, like, you know, pumping his bird's chest for all he's worth. And it sort of...
Sorry.
But yeah, it sort of twitches back into life, and then he puts it in the recovery position briefly before gently picking it up and taking it over to his coaching staff, who then look after it for the rest of the game. So there you go.
What happened? Do we know what happened to the seagull poster?
We don't. We know what happened to the game. The game was actually a title decider.
Oh, wow.
It was basically winner takes all, final game of the season. And it was a draw, so it had to be decided on penalties, which the seagull saver, Katan, his side lost.
Wow.
But he was quoted in the local press afterwards saying, "We missed out on the championship, but it's a wonderful thing to have helped save a life."
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
Pumping a bird's chest for all it is worth.
Yakshamlar. good stuff. Talking about pumping, David, we gave Přibram a right pumping last year. Do you want to see if we can do it again?
Oh, yeah, let's. Hey, guess what? It's FC Dukla Marilla Přibram.
Yeah,
we're playing them again.
Saturday at 5 p.m, baby.
That's right.
One of the most dislikable football clubs make their way to Brno. Nothing against Přibram supporters, to be honest. Not that there are many. It's the
about eight.
Entire organisation, isn't it? Like, I mean, the club is there only to fulfil the fantasy of a well-off owner in having a football team. Sound familiar?
Yeah. I mean, as far as I know, Artis's owner has never been indicted in murder and kidnapping charges.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many million per goal was it that Opava scored against them the other day?
If you want to hear the story of why everyone hates Přibram, there's an episode, if you scroll back about three series, there's a winter special doing a deep dive into what the fuck is went on and is continuing to go on at Přibram.
Yeah. Hope his cock falls off. Anyway, our match at Nali Tatse.
grow up, social media. Aura.
Aura
bollock.
Who can have kids? Anyway, right, this is just going into a shambles now. Our match,
what do you mean going into? Continues to be.
Yeah. This is not a reflection of me as a professional yishi from my work. Our match at Nalitavta, where Zbrojovka ran out 7-2 winners, David. Yes. That seemed to set the tone, right, for the beginning of the season. So, yes. Away side, looking focused, assured, full of quality, you know, that we'd been crying out for, you know, some time. Had that excellent Rymarenko goal in it, for example. Really good.
Kanakimana's first one for the club.
Yes, this is all the good things were happening, right? In contrast, the home side, not in the division based on merit, but in the division based on buying a license of another side, namely, you know, Vyshkov, they had a shambles of a performance, particularly defensively. So if a week is a long time in football, right? 6 months must feel like a decade, because it can be argued that Zbrojovka, maybe not as swashbuckling, right, but are still keeping up that side of things, right?
Spreading the goals around, looking confident and, yeah.
Complete, like, reversal for Příbram, right? So, you know, that team lost their first four games, got papped out of the cup by the first opportunity by FC Rokycany. They're now fifth.
Yeah.
And that sounds more impressive without the qualification that there's 4 points between fifth and tenth, but there's also a six-match unbeaten run midway through that, you know, the first half of the campaign. So there is, you know, it's quite possible that where I think Příbram fit into the whole Czech football ecosystem, or the second division Czech football ecosystem, is that they are, I think it's clear this stage, too good to go down now.
Yes.
But are lacking that bit of quality that's actually going to take them to being third, second, or anything like this. So I think that, you know, we will see them keep maybe doing a bit of what they're doing, but will ultimately finish around fifth or sixth.
Yeah, I mean, they're as you say, after a you know, sticking the spokes of their own wheels, they're, at the start, they're very much back on the bike. They're just a bit too late getting back on the bike.
Yeah, and it's the search for the quality. They're still searching for it. So they, funnily enough, they have the joint largest squad in the division, along with Ceska Budějovice. And let's be fair, like, Ceska Budějovice is padded out by kids because of, you know, various embargoes and things like that. And they are still a bit all over the place. So, you know, goals aren't coming at the rate that they'd like. Three goals in the last six fixtures. Daniel Šmiga, who's their guy up top, who's a loan from Slavia, only responsible for one of those. And he's on three for the season entirely. Our friend Kuba Rezniček is on two for the season.
Oh, yes. What a sad end.
Yeah, and it is.
Poor Kuba.
And it feels like this, because it does feel that age is catching up with him at this point, because he started the majority of matches at the start of the season.
He's got to be, what, 38 now? Yeah. 39?
He's now been sort of reduced for quite some time to coming on the last 10, last 15.
Doing, I would say, a lot of pointing and shouting.
Yes.
Yes.
He's got a nice goal with his head, though, as well, before the end of the winter break. And, you know, quite a few of the big hitters are getting on in age, right?
Please tell me they've still got Rudi Skartsel.
They didn't have Rudi Skartsel for years, right? But, it's been a reasonably productive season for Yaroslav Malek, middle of the park. And he's got to be, I think he's actually the right side of 30. I think he's like 29, but he's been there since like 2018. Like,
right.
He's been there for quite a long time, Malek. And they do play this.
What did he do to deserve that?
Yeah. Well, you know, he's seen it all, but it's that 4-1-4-1 that they like to play.
Yeah,
and Malek's
usually
on the top with that sort of almost like diamond as well. That's, one of these things as well. Malek's 34. It's Emmanuel Antwi, who's been there since 2018. He's on the right side of 30, but he's been there for a while. Malek, of course, was Malek Lishan before, possibly? I'm getting my players confused, but they've got some people that are getting quite, you know, have been embedded in the squad, let's say, for some time. A few young guns have returned to their parent clubs over the winter period, and quite a few young guns are taking their place from top flight clubs, as is normal for this sort of thing. Adel Bega.
Sure, enlighten me.
Comes in from Olympiakos Nicosia.
Oh, okay.
If you think you remember that name, it's because you probably do. So I find this bit absolutely fascinating. I spent a lot of time looking into this. so he was at loan at Varnsdorf for half a season, like a couple of years back. But I spent a long time looking at this. I can't find any statistics or any evidence that suggests that Adel Bega has actually played a competitive game of football.
Incredible.
So according to Transfer Market...
Whose cousin is he?
I don't know. Well, he is...
He's not George Weyers, is he?
He's Algerian French, right? So
Riyad Mahrez's his cousin.
Yeah. But like, so he's... Yeah, it feels like something's up there. So, like, because he didn't appear for Varnsdorf Junior alone. He didn't appear for any of his other loan clubs either. So I don't know what's exactly up with that, but I don't know why. So if anyone knows, this feels like some sort of niche money laundering thing. So if you know anything, and I do sincerely mean this, football internet, if you know anything about Adel Bega, please get in touch with me.
Have they got, this is a wild stab in the dark, but have they got anyone from that country or region or linguistic group else in the squad, do we know? Because my only thought would have been, would it have been to like help somebody settle in by just like bringing one of their mates over and pretending he's a footballer?
Yeah.
Like kind of, you know, sort of getting them a work permit on the strength of the fact that, inverted commas, they're a footballer, so they can get a work permit.
If so, he's done this for about 6 clubs now.
Yeah, that makes it less likely that that's
gave
a thing.
This is a stretch, right? It gave me Islam Firouz vibes.
I don't know who that is.
Where he was Scottish, Somalian. He's a Somalian refugee, settled in Scotland, signed for Chelsea. And then he was Celtic youth, signed for Chelsea. He played, you know, under 17 Scotland, under 19 Scotland, etc. And he stayed on Chelsea's books for years, despite going on loans where he would just like not turn up sometimes, right, or he felt homesick after 2 days and left. And then he played like 6 games maybe for like Blackpool and wouldn't score or whatever, and like completely ruined his career and packed it in about 30. That sort of thing.
Weird.
Freddie Adu sort of thing, you know? So yeah, very strange. And I know that's going a little bit off piste here, but like I find that really fascinating, you know, the whole transfer stuff in the background. So it's very strange. Just to move on as well, an unknown supposed left back in Suleiman Malumba from Leganeth B is also coming. So
glamour.
And he's transferred from there from a team in Uganda. So who knows what's happening also. Couldn't find much on him at all. What makes more sense for them is taking on someone like Tomasz Edliczka from...
Yeah, you go.
just to see if you can eke any goals out of him, basically. So, look, he's not had a good time at Dukla.
Nobody does.
Yeah, but, like, you might remember, like, he was quite good at Prostějov. And then if
he was a solid player.
And like, if you're going back, he was a 1-3 Domažlice. And okay, that's a third division, right? But I mean, Domažlice were kind of at the top of the, you know, of the food chain in the Bohemian third tier. So I like that. It makes more sense because it's a cost-effective way to see if something happens.
Yeah.
So if Lidice, you bring him in, right? Dukla is paying most, if not all, of his wages. If he comes in, scores 5 goals for you, gets you third.
Great.
Spot on.
Yeah.
If he doesn't, you know, it's unlikely you're going to finish below like 9th or whatever anyway. And hey, if you think about it really, and I know Shibram don't think about it like this, but this is your first season back in the second tier.
Yeah.
Take it, man, and build over the summer if you want it that much. So I like these sorts of things. It makes a lot of sense for me. There, I mean, maybe a last thing as well, just because it'll be interesting to see. I think they're going to have to do a lot more bedding in with some of these younger players that they've got on loan. Again, you know, because they haven't had the best of pre-seasons or mid-seasons, right? 2-2 draw with Kladno. 2-1 loss to Cheska Budějovice. And then their big match was a 2-1 loss to Milsami Orhei, who are, of course,
Run by Mills and the Musée d'Orsay.
That's right, Heather Mills' team, who are currently fourth in the Moldovan League.
Oh, good.
So they've
okay,
had
fine.
Basically three of these matches. So, look, I mean, they've got about... I'm not going to go into the half a dozen people from Pardubice, etc., that are coming for 6 months to see what's at, what it's like in central Bohemia. But they could have a... they could have an okay time of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And... the answer is full of uranium.
True, yes. But look, I like it as well. No gimme. I don't think we're steamrolling a team. They're a different team, I think, in terms of the mentality and how they've bedded in than this match back in July or whatever that we had, or August. So we're not 4-5-0-ing them, I think.
No.
But they're beatable.
Yeah, it feels like they're going to sit deep and make it awkward. I feel like... We haven't been massively high scoring, mainly because of squad rotation in the preseason friendlies. Like, if it's like 1-0 but a convincing 1-0, I'll be more than happy.
Well, this is it, right? Can you just off the top of your head, can you really remember when Zlín scudded someone? Because
no,
I can't.
No, it was 2-0. All 2-0 and 2-1.
1-0s, 2-1s, right? And they looked fucking fantastic while doing it, and now are just absolutely fine in the top flight.
Yeah.
So we want to do this, basically.
Yes.
This is what we want. And look, I think it's a good test for the side. Saturday, we'll see where we're at with it. It's not going to be one that if we somehow get, you know, if we get a 2-2 draw, it's not the biggest tragedy in the world.
Yeah.
If it was a 2-2 draw with, like, Kromjerzic or something, you'd start going, what the fuck's this? So, yeah, perfect, I think.
Yeah. All right, shall we do a Beer of the Podcast right now? And once again, boys and girls, it's
Beer of the Podcast!
That's the theme from Beer of the Podcast.
Yes.
Amongst the all, I got it for this one. Goes like this. Check it out, spa. Anyway, that was a throwback to the early 2000s. There.
Yes, that's a soap bar by Goldie Looking Chain.
Yes.
For those not in on the in-joke, I suppose.
That will be many people listening.
Yet again, in association with Pivni Ordinatsa, who have sorted us out once more.
Doing the Lord's work, the boys.
Just, round the corner from your flat and just the nicest people. So, excellent stuff. My turn, it was.
Yep.
And we are going not far at all. Ooh. So we are going to...
Nice label.
Yes. So we're going to Pivovar Pivechka, which is in the Rosinov.
Pivovar Pivechka. Yeah. Good.
But Rosinov, of course, 10 miles east of Brno. The bottle looks like a wine bottle, doesn't it? The label
Illustration on it looks like one of those like really cool tattoos that you might get. Like really kind of...
Yeah.
Like detailed cross-section of a lemon.
Yeah.
With a sprig of thyme around it.
And it looks like a bottle of like natural or white wine that you would get, you know.
Yeah, it's lovely.
And it is a lemon and thyme sour ale, 4.7%. And this cost me 165 crowns.
Yep, not bad.
But it was one of these ones where, you know, you're just looking. And can I tell you, the good doctor at Pivni Ordinatsa has now started colour-coding sections of his
fridge. He has, yes. I was in there last week, and he informed me thus.
And I saw this, and you know, you immediately are like, that's the sort of stuff I like. Mm. I like sours. I like, you know, lemon and thyme's a great combination. Good in a chicken.
Feels light.
Good in a chicken, good in salmon, probably, as well. So I think this will be good.
What do you mean, probably? Do you not eat salmon?
I've never had it with thyme before, I think.
Lemon and thyme kind of goes together quite well.
So and I think this could go quite well as well. So I'm expecting on the nose to have that citrus, but also a good whack of thyme as well. So let's see.
Yeah. Right. Let's get the nose in.
And that's why, the thyme's really prominent.
It really comes through, doesn't it? Okay, actually, it does. Without the chicken, obviously, but it smells like when you've got a really good roast chicken out of the oven.
Yeah.
It's it's time heavy, but there is a layer of lemoniness underneath it on the nose. It's lovely.
The owner's friend as well, who was drinking there when I went to pick up the bottle, also said that this is a dangerous drink because apparently it is quite sweet. It's sweet, it's citrusy, you get the herb thing, and it's a headache in a bottle because you'll just keep drinking it. So let's see if that theory is correct.
Here we go, chin chin.
Cheers. That's great.
Delicious.
That is, you get so much of the... It does feel like it's just a sprig of just dried thyme in the glass, doesn't
it? It's not overpowering either. Like, it's really... The balance is delicious. Yeah. That is brilliant.
That is really good, actually. I'm very happy with that. I had high hopes for this one.
Oh, yeah. There's a slight burst of, like, kind of old-fashioned lemonade at the start. There's that slight sweetness.
Yeah.
And then it's just subtly thyme all the way.
They've not done, like, they've not made it too sour for a sour as well, because sometimes it feels like these companies almost have sour as this sort of challenge to try and make, you know, like when you had all these sweets as a kid, the super sour ones, and your face would screw up. You know, that one is one that you could...
I've made a beer so sour, it can only be contained within a magnetic field. Yay.
You could nail a few of those easy.
That is delicious.
Do you know what? A couple of months' time, when it starts being 15 degrees or whatever, and you're in a place, or like where it's like you've got, there's a tiny little terrace, it's not exactly going outside fully weathered yet, but you have like a window open and it's a clear day.
Lovely.
So I'll be buying that again. And I think I mean 165, right? I mean, that's, you know, for our UK friends, that's like, okay, you're buying it, you know, from a shop, so it's like £6 for a pint and a half, which is not great, but I think it feels like a quality product, doesn't it?
It
feels like people have taken their time to get the balance right, to get all these
things. Yeah, everything from, as you said, from label design to subtlety of taste, that is a quality piece of work. Well, done, everyone involved.
10 miles up the road, eh?
Yeah. We should go.
We probably could.
We could.
I bet they have a... That's a Sunday constitutional, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Go up and see if they've got a wee brew shop and buy a few bottles, isn't it?
Yeah. When I get the car back from Car Brothers, we can have a...
Can I borrow that car? I got the tip as well. Is that all right?
At some point?
Excellent. Yeah, yeah. Good. The viewers and the listeners need to know this. So, yeah. Great.
All right. Yes, that was a delicious beer of the podcast. And now we've got somewhere that also does many good beers on its square, and that is Tarbourne. Tabor, or at least that's what they call it in Portland. They have an area called Mount Tabor, except it's called Mount Tabor.
Oh, really?
Course. Yes.
Cool.
I actually mentioned that to the Uber driver who was driving me to the airport, and he was spectacularly uninterested.
Oh, sure.
About the fact that Tarbor is really here. You didn't give a shit. Well, so the conversation ended.
Well, they're here, baby. So this is an away game that I actually... Right, this is the problem with where I'm getting in terms of like age and laziness and stuff like this. I'm really up for the game. I'm not up for anything else. Like, as in, I'm not up to travel there and back, bit of a pain. I'm not up for, you know, getting up early. I'm not up for, going around the town, whatever. But I think the game will be great. That's the problem I have with this
one. I mean, we've been before.
So I haven't been.
I've never been
to Tabor. Never.
Who did I?
You went with, Ben.
I went with Ben.
And then you went
last.
Yeah, you went with Ben, and then you also went with one of your ex-colleagues.
Oh, yes, that's right. I went with Maruska because she lives there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's right, yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, okay. I could have sworn I was there with you, but yeah, okay, fair enough.
So, yeah, I guess the striking thing about the winter preparation of Ceylon, Taborsko, how similar it is to Příbram. So they also played...
Losing.
Well, they played Kladno, 3-1 win. Played Český Budějovice, a 1-0 loss. They played some Austrian lower league team called Hertha Vels. Who they won 3-0.
Which sounds more Dutch. Hertha Vels. Oh, yeah.
more interestingly, they lost 4-0 to RFS of Latvia, their second mention in this
That is broadcast. More mentions than they're ever going to get, apart from, you know, RFS cast.
I think the more actual interesting one is a 4-3 loss to Mladá Boleslav, which sounds like a fun wee kickabout and sounds a bit more... you know, suggesting of where, you know, they maybe are as well. If we look at, we're talking before about these sorts of ecosystems, etc.
Were they just playing teams that had quite similar shirts? Because blue and white stripes is Tabor, is also Kladno, is also Mladá Boleslav.
RFS playing blue.
Yeah, exactly. It's like that one pre-season where Kov only played teams that had Hummel shirts as part of some, like, sponsorship agreement. We played Duisburg, Everton, and Werder Bremen, of all people.
Do you remember that thing on Twitter where, like, some, like, Rangers fan was, like, absolutely, like, beside himself because he'd reckoned that Rangers were signing Mats Hummels, and actually it was the announcement that the Hummels was going to be their shirt sponsor.
Oh, lovely stuff.
Good stuff. Tabor have threatened to be decent for a couple of seasons at this point, I would say.
And they've always finished fourth or fifth.
Starting to look at it, innit? Yeah. Second in the league, 5 points from us. I find them pretty similar to Zborovka Brno. Right, so second in goals scored, we're first. Second stingiest in teams in terms of goals conceded, yep, we're first. Difficult team to break down. Third in the form table. Remarkably, Budějovice are second.
Did not see
that's
that
gone
coming,
under my radar. We're first, of course. They've lost twice in the league, so to ourselves, and we were lucky to get a winner. Last minute winner. Yeah. What a buzz that was, by the way. And to Bannock B, they haven't lost since match day 5, all the way back in August.
They're just a really well run football club,
and I'll tell you why, right? And also just for the avoidance of any doubt, they are the second best team in the division. Some people will say Artis Brno. If that's you, you're wrong. It's definitely Taborsko. And it's because, right, that there are absolutely no tricks with Tabor. So they play a relatively straightforward system with what they consider as being the best players in the position, right? So, thus, you know, Lukasz Matejka up front in a 4-2-3-1, he scores quite a lot of goals. Jakub Beratz, he's supposed to be a right back. They've consistently played him really high up the park, almost like on the wing, really. Guess what? He provides a lot of assists. Pavel Novak, Lukasz Havel, both players that you might remember were in that really, really good Budějovice team that got promoted a few seasons back. They don't concede many goals. So they've been the centre-back pairing for the entire season. So it's been like, you know...
Football's a simple game when it comes down to it, isn't it, really?
Yeah, when you're doing it like this, it's like, you know, when you start playing Football Manager and you find a system that works for the team you have and you just keep the best players in it all the time. And look, it's working for them and it's paying off. So anything that they're actually done, they've got precious little in terms of actual signings, but we'll get on to this, right? Because we've talked before as well about Bojan Djordjic.
Yeah.
And he's been a good player for them for a few years. His time is now at an end. So opportunities for him to play have been minimal since about September or so. So he's now gone off to Sunny Vlašim. His tour of the second...
Blue and white stripes again.
His tour of the second tier continues. I think it's his fourth or fifth club now. But
we should have brought him in just for 6 months.
Djordjic, yeah.
Just for him to have a go.
Wouldn't get in, though, is the problem. And this is the thing.
Of course he wouldn't, but you know.
Because he's not getting into Tabor, because Tabor have become that good.
Yeah, but there again, it would stop him scoring against us.
Yeah, this is true. I mean, yeah. Did get an assist last time or did he score?
I think he scored.
He likes a goal against us, doesn't he? So we're still to play Vlašim, of course. So they've done stuff that makes sense, right? Because, you know, they're not going to try and upset the rhythm at this point, right? When the end really is in sight. And actually, if you play your cards right over the next few matches, you can sew up a playoff spot, right? So, you know, Jakub Rezek is coming from Opava. he's okay. He knows this sort of way around things. Roman Holish comes back to the club from Dukla. Mm-hmm. They bought him from them a couple of seasons ago, so he's very familiar with the terrain. So he's
also not had a nice time at Dukla.
Yeah, absolutely.
Welcome
not.
Back.
Yeah, this is it. And you know, he is and he is, you know, he might not actually get in because he is CB cover, right? So because I mean Novak's 36. So you know, they just want to keep a a stable core with things. So I'm not expecting much tricks from Tabor. It's not like, I'm not going to say that they play the most aesthetically pleasing football in the world, because they don't, but then neither do we. So, you know, they're going to be hard to break down. They're going to try and be fast in attacking positions. And then immediately when they lose possession, they will go back, they'll go back into, you know, into this shape, because they are coached really well.
Yeah.
So I think this is going to be a fascinating game. This is a tough game.
It always has been. The two times I've been there have been like real, like grind out victories. The the last time we were there away was, I think it was Reznicek's last goal.
Yeah.
Before he left.
The header, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The header
and from the corner. And it was a dreadful game.
It was.
I was really bad.
It was a Friday game, wasn't it?
It was.
I couldn't get off work, so I watched on the telly, and it was just.
Yeah, but
the urge to turn over.
It was a crap game because we had a pretty crap squad at that point, but also they made it crap. They were really hard to play against. Yeah.
Because they will play to the opposition, and that's exactly how you want to play in the second tier, right? You want to look these things down. And look, I mean, it's good to the point, right? We've always been about bold predictions here as well. Obviously, you know, this is coming in, you know, the middle of March, but it's Příbram, Tabor, Artis Brno. First three games back.
Yeah, really
crazy.
Tough. Yeah.
Right, bold prediction time, right? If we get 7 points from that, we're home and host.
I was absolutely going to say that. 7 points from that, because we are technically the home team against Artis.
Yeah.
I think that might sort of make a difference. If we're going to drop points, I think it's going to be Tabor.
Yes. Yeah, you know what? I would agree. The team I want to drop points to, if I have to drop points to anyone, is Artis.
Sure.
Because I don't trust Artis to not have a fuck-up again.
Sure. Yeah, but I think if we are going to drop points, it's going to be the away tie against Tabor.
A point away to Tabor is absolutely fine.
Because it keeps the gap the same as it is, and everything's grand, and it's a weird little stadium on a pitch that doesn't slope but feels like it does.
Yeah.
And it's just it's an odd place to go. Lovely town, an odd place to go to.
Yeah. And this is it. And it will, and if we can do that, it will
great beer.
It will keep the I think it will keep the gap, because I would back us to beat Příbram as well. Mm-hmm. And also Tabor are away to Vlašim. And unless there's been a huge
Djordic absolutely scoring in that one,
yeah, it's true. But unless there's been a massive improvement and they've put in a whole new cadre of players over the winter, because what I remember of Vlašim most of the first half of the season is that they're awful. So I would expect that to be 3 points to the away side.
Yeah.
So you have that. You beat Artis. You have it feels out of reach for everyone else at this point.
Anyway.
So we'll see in 2 weeks when it's all gone tits up as usual.
Yeah, exactly. So
we've put the curse on it.
But thank you very much for listening, listener. It is lovely to be back.
It's been far too long. I've enjoyed it tonight.
It's been far too long. We'll keep you updated. We'll reopen the social media channels, because we've been very dormant over the winter, because we sort of have. I mean, we've been keeping up with what's going on, but not really.
All only thing I've posted, I think, is just been taking the piss out of artists.
As is traditional, that's fine.
And I'll keep doing it. Yeah. I'll keep doing it. Perfect. Well, look, so get us back on Facebook, get us back on X, bracket formerly known as Twitter.
Yeah.
And of course, if you are coming to the game on Saturday, make sure to say hello if you see us.
Exactly, yeah. We will be top of sector, where are we, N?
LN sort of a bit.
Sort of.
Beside the beer, listener.
Yeah. Top left, as you look at the stadium, as you come in, beside the beer. Yeah, we'll be there. So come and say hello. We'll have the Gentleman Ultras flag up. Yeah, basically, see that flag, look directly up, and we're there. So, yeah, there you go. That will be it for this week, or this fortnight, I suppose. Thank you very, very much for tuning in again, and it is all we can do to say...
Bye.
Cestitou laví, já vím, že se vás už nikdy nezbavím. S kamarády vám večer písní vyprávím, že dál mě vedou mý cesty toulaví. Cesty toulaví, na jednom místě stát mě nebaví. Tam, kde jsem ještě nebyl, tak se zastavím a dál mě vedou mý cesty toulaví. Cesty toulaví, jak za starých časů komedianti spoutí. Každý z nás to ví, že žádný cesty nejsou rovný, že se kroutí a kroutí. Cesty toulaví, já vím, že se vás už nikdy nezbavím. S kamarády vám večer písní vyprávím, že dál mě vedou mý cesty toulaví. Cesty toulaví, já vím, že se vás už nikdy nezbavím. S kamarády vám večer písní vyprávím, že dál mě vedou mý cesty toulaví, že dál mě vedou mý cesty toulaví.